to partition. Even for the Zionists, this was something of a departure, for they had come late to the issue of the plight of the victims of the Holocaust. The pursuit of a displaced persons policy had not been one of the Zionists' major goals, no matter how much some historians like to insist it was. Now, in 1946, the plight of the displaced persons in British camps coincided with pragmatic politics on several levels. On the most immediate front, immigration to Eretz Israel was always a major Zionist concern, and the survivors of European Jewry represented hundreds of thousands of potential Jewish settlers who had nowhere else to go, since the gates of most countries, including the United States, were closed to them. The displaced persons therefore also represented a practical way to mix humanitarian concerns with pragmatic politics. This was especially true in finding a way to get the United States involved in the Palestine problem. The British, without meaning to, were eminently cooperative, emphasis supplied, as efforts to involve the United States grew. The political pressure on Truman, as did almost everyone else, felt great sympathy for the Jewish refugees from Europe. He was also much less sure of the Jewish vote than Roosevelt had been. For the coming 1948 election, he needed the endorsement of Jewish organizations in such swing states as New York, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. Once the British renounced their mandate, Truman pushed for the creation of a Jewish state in Palestine. In May 1947, the Palestine problem came before the United Nations. The majority produced a new partition plan. There would be Jewish and Arab states, plus an international zone in Jerusalem. Being aware of Zionist ambitions for all of Palestine, neither the American State Department nor the British Foreign Office wanted a Jewish state. They foresaw disaster for the West if one were created. The British War Office and the US Defense Department were also strongly opposed. Partition and the birth of Israel. Nevertheless, on November 29, 1947, thanks to Truman's vigorous backing, the plan was adopted by the General Assembly, 33 votes to 13, with 10 abstentions. The partition plan contains, among others, the following provisions. 1. The basic premise underlying the partition proposal is that the claims to Palestine of the Arabs and Jews, both possessing validity, are irreconcilable, and that among all of the solutions advanced, partition will provide the most realistic and practicable settlement, and is the most likely to afford a workable basis for meeting in part the claims and national aspirations of both parties too. It is a fact that both of these peoples have their historic roots in Palestine, and that both make vital contributions to the economic and cultural life of the country. The partition solution takes these considerations fully into account. 3. The basic conflict in Palestine is a clash of two intense nationalisms. Regardless of the historical origins of the conflict, the rights and wrongs of the promises and counter-promises, and the international intervention incident to the mandate, there are now in Palestine some 650,000 Jews and some 1,200,000 Arabs, who are dissimilar in their ways of living. And, for the time being, separated by political interests which render difficult full and effective political cooperation among them, whether voluntary or induced by constitutional arrangements. For only by means of partition can these conflicting national aspirations find substantial expression and qualify both peoples to take their places as independent nations in the international community and in the United Nations. 5. The partition solution provides that finality, which is a most urgent need, is the solution. Every other proposed solution would tend to induce the two parties to seek modification in their favor by means of persistent pressure. The grant of independence to both states, however, would remove the basis for such efforts. 6. Partition is based on a realistic appraisal of the actual Arab-Jewish relations in Palestine. Full political cooperation would be indispensable to the effective functioning of any single state scheme, such as the federal state proposal, except in those cases which frankly envisage either an Arab or a Jewish-dominated state. 7. Partition is the only means available by which political and economic responsibility can be placed squarely on both Arabs and Jews, with the prospective result that, confronted with responsibility for bearing fully the consequences of their own actions, a new and important element of political amelioration would be introduced. In the proposed federal state solution, this factor would be lacking. 8. Jewish immigration is the central issue in Palestine today, and is one factor, above all others, that rules out the necessary cooperation between the Arab and Jewish communities in a single state. The creation of a Jewish state under a partition scheme is the only hope of removing this issue from the arena of conflict. 9. It is recognized that partition has been strongly opposed by Arabs, but it is felt that the opposition would be lessened by a solution which definitively fixes the extent of territory to be allotted to the Jews with its implicit limitation on immigration. The fact that the solution carries the sanction of the United Nations involves a finality which should allay Arab fears of further expansion of the Jewish state, emphasis supplied, although the partition resolution of the United Nations General Assembly, referred to above, constitutes the legal foundation for the State of Israel, it is clear that the Zionists had no intention of abiding by either the letter or the spirit of the UN resolution. Menachem Begin, leader of the IGUN, declared that the bisection of our homeland is illegal and will never be recognized. Begin's Hesed Party, founded in 1948, argued for a Jewish state not only in all of Palestine but in Jordan as well, even if it has to be won by blood and fire. None of the Zionist parties accepted the UN resolution as anything but a temporary expedient. As the late Simmer Flappen, in his recent book, The Birth of Israel, Myths and Realities, describes it, in short, acceptance of the UN partition resolution was an example of Zionist pragmatism par excellence. It was a tactical acceptance, a vital step in the right direction, a springboard for expansion, when circumstances proved more judicious. And indeed, in the period between the UN vote on November 29, 1947, and the declaration of the State of Israel on May 14, 1948, a number of developments helped to produce the judicious circumstances that would enable the embryonic Jewish state to expand its borders. Overall, Zionist strategy never wavered from its basic position: all of Palestine was to be Jewish, and no Palestinian state would be allowed, regardless of the UN resolution. On Friday, May 14, 1948, Ben-Gurion read out the Scroll of Independence, by virtue of our national and intrinsic right, and on the strength of the resolution of the United Nations General Assembly, we hereby declare the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine, which shall be known as the State of Israel. T. Simmer Flappen was National Secretary of Israel's Mapam Party and Director of its Arab Affairs Department. He was founder and editor-in-chief of the Middle East monthly New Outlook, and founder and director of the Jewish Arab Institute and the Israeli Peace Research Institute. He also lectured as a fellow at the Harvard University Center for International Affairs, as a visiting scholar at the Harvard Center for Middle East Studies, and as a foreign associate of the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. Chapter 4: The Arab-Israeli War. ZNR*I. The crowning achievement and the culminating event in the JL history of Zionism was the founding of the State of Israel. It was also the casus belli of the War of Independence, 1948-1949, the first of five Arab-Israeli wars. For the purposes of this book, it is the only one of these wars which will be discussed in any detail, because it is a source of the Palestinian refugee problem, one of the most difficult issues to be dealt with in resolving the Middle East crisis. The War of Independence and Israeli mythology. The popularly accepted version of the War of Independence, in Israel and elsewhere, may be summarized as follows. No sooner had the young nation of Israel declared itself as a state, it was set upon, in its cradle, so to speak, by powerful enemies determined upon its destruction. Only after a heroic defense, involving brilliant tactics and unsurpassed bravery, did Israel succeed in defeating and humiliating the Arab hordes. The imagery associated with the Israeli victory is that of a David desperately facing a Goliath, and triumphing against great odds. This account of the War of Independence has been told, and retold with frequent embellishments to where it is now accepted, according to the late Simmer Flappen, in Israeli society as historical truth, and hardened into a dangerous ideological shield. This version of the events surrounding the founding of Israel and the War of Independence may never have been questioned or challenged except for the recent release and declassification of many state documents and military archives, including the secret war diaries of Ben-Gurion.